demand for 30% subcontracting, which is impacted on project performance. The next indicator deals with the number of informal settlements upgrading plans. And again, in this case, they've also underachieved through 126 of the 300. And again, it's similar issues as was mentioned before. Number of households in provinces and metros supported through upgrading of informal settlements. So even though they've done quite well in terms of the 51,000 upgrading of households, it is below their target, and there's issues related to delays in the supply chain management, which has impacted on this indicator. And then lastly, provinces and municipalities supported in terms of the subsidy housing market, and again, they've underperformed in terms of this target, and this, again, is linked to poor delivery performance in provinces and municipalities. As the committee is aware, a lot of the delivery within the sector, because it's a concurrent function, is delivered through provinces and municipalities, which in certain cases does impact on performance. The next slide. Thank you. So in terms of support to deliver on private affordable rental housing units, in this case, the department has also underperformed in relation to the target. And part of the challenge there relates to business plans that were not received by the entity. The next indicator is about support to the social housing program. And again, the department has underperformed here. This has largely been due to construction delays and issues related to the number of projects within the project pipeline. On the last target, in terms of provinces being supported, that has been achieved, so no deviation. Next slide. Thank you. So this is a continuation of Program 3. So in terms of the registration of the number of pre- and post-title deeds, so the department in this case has also underperformed roughly half of the target, which was 50,000. Part of the reasons for deviation there is to deal with the higher costs than what was budgeted for at the start of the year. The next indicator is the provinces supported in terms of the implementation of title deeds. So as the committee should be aware as well, the function for dealing with title deeds resides with provinces, and the national department essentially facilitates that process. So again, we're quite well below the target there, which was to deliver 40,000 title deeds, and we're currently sitting on 3,500. So that is partly due to poor planning within the provincial space. The final indicator is about provinces being supported in terms of housing for military veterans, and with the department there marginally underperformed in terms of that target. And part of the issue is due to the availability of approved beneficiaries via the Department of Military Veterans. You can move to the next slide. Thank you. Thank you. So this is, again, a continuation of Program 3. So the first indicator there in terms of human settlements capacity has been achieved, so no deviation. The second indicator in terms of percentage of projects monitored and verified, that is also fully achieved. And then lastly, the number of evaluation studies completed, again, marginal underperformance there. And there's been some issues around data collection, which has delayed the full achievement of this indicator. Next slide, thank you. So Program 4. Program 4 deals with housing development finance. So the first indicator has to deal with the annual performance analysis of financial institutions in terms of lending patterns. So that was conducted, fully achieved. In terms of the HSDG quarterly performance assessments, that's also fully achieved. In terms of the number of title deeds, restoration grant quarterly assessments, also fully achieved. The USDG quarterly performance assessments, also fully achieved. And then lastly, the number of assessments in terms of the FLSP subsidy program, those were also all conducted in line with the target. So no deviations. The next slide, please. Thank you. So this is a continuation of Program 4. So in terms of the first indicator, which is the volume of loans assessed by DFIs, also fully achieved. Number of assessments linked to employee contributions on the employee-assisted housing program, that has been conducted. And then lastly, performance assessments in relation to the Office of Disclosure, also fully achieved. So no deviations on those first three indicators. And then the final one, which is the finance and funding model to target better human settlements outcome. So the assessment was conducted in two reports. There was a minor deviation there linked to the financing and funding model within human settlements. Next slide, please. So that's dealt with the Department of Human Settlements in terms of the 2019-20 annual performance. We will then next go through the Department of Water and Sanitation for the same period. Next slide. Thank you. So this again just provides a summary of the overall performance. So in terms of Program 1, 7 of the 10 targets achieved. We won't go through the detail of that as mentioned before. Program 2, 11 of the 19 targets achieved. Program 3, 9 of the 31 targets achieved. So Program 3 is where the concerns are in terms of infrastructure development. And then Program 4, which is the regulatory function for the sector, 9 of the 12 targets were achieved. So just in terms of summary overall, 36 of the 72 targets were achieved. So that's about 50% in terms of the performance. And then we're going to go through the detail of the service delivery programs on Program 2, 3, and 4 on the next set of slides. You can move on. Next slide, thank you. So in terms of Program 2, which is water planning and information management, so the first two indicators are fully achieved, so no deviations there. In terms of the number of operating rules and specialist strategy studies, again, a minor deviation there, so 6 of the 8 in terms of the target was achieved. And then lastly, the number of updated climate change risk vulnerability assessments. So this is to assess the impact of climate change on the water systems. That's fully achieved. So no deviation. Next slide. Thank you. So in terms of the number of river systems with water resources classified, so minor underperformance there, 2 of the 3. In terms of the target achieved, in terms of number of river systems, that's fully achieved. In terms of the river systems for water resources classes determined, so that relates to Mzimvubu. So a legal notice there has been issued. In terms of the next indicator, which is the number of water resources monitoring programs, that's also been fully achieved in terms of the target. The number of water and sanitation information systems maintained, also fully achieved. And then in terms of the last indicator, which relates to the river eco-status monitoring program, there's been an overachievement of the target there. Next slide. Thank you. So this is a continuation of Program 2. The number of large river, I mean, water supply systems assessed is also fully achieved in terms of the target. The number of district municipalities with completed five-year water and sanitation systems master plans, there none of the master plans were achieved in terms of the target. So there's a process underway to refine the terms of reference to take that process forward, which is impacted on the milestones. In terms of the number of municipal strategic self-assessments across the water services authorities, metros and secondary cities. So again, there's been overachievement of that target. In terms of the number of feasibility studies conducted, only a minor deviation there, which is four of the five targets achieved. And that related to the delay of the appointment of implementing agents. And then in terms of the last indicator, which is the implementation readiness studies for ARBIC, which is the bulk grant. Again, there's been a deviation there in terms of three of the five were achieved. And again, it's similar issues, which is related to supply chain issues regarding the appointment of the implementing agent. Next slide. So this is a continuation of Program 2. So in terms of water services authorities assessed, so none of that was achieved in terms of the impact assessment report. So there is a mediation process underway according to the department to get a service provider to support that. In terms of the National Sanitation Integrated Plan, that's fully achieved. The approved National Water Resources Strategy has not been achieved. And again, there's an issue related to the appointment of the consultants to assist with the program there. And then lastly, the National Water and Sanitation Bill was expected to be gazetted at this point, but the consultation process is still underway in relation to that, which has delayed the implementation of that target. You can move to the next slide. To the next slide, please. Okay, the slide's moving. They seem to be stuck on my side. Next slide, please. Thank you. So now we move on to Program 3, which is water infrastructure development. And as was noted in the summary, this is where most of the concerns relating to performance are. So in terms of the first target, which is the number of learners that have completed training in terms of the War on Leaks program. So even though 4,396 have been trained, that is below the target. And there's been issues there related to the appointment of experienced apologies in relation to the payments of implementing agents, which has impacted on the payments of stipends for the people being trained. In terms of the number of bulk raw water project systems, there were two that were planned and none of those were achieved. Issues there again relate to the delays around the negotiation for the valuer. And there's also issues related to the social facilitation, which is in most cases an issue across big projects. Next slide, thank you. So this is a continuation of Program 3. So the number of bulk raw water projects ready for implementation. So those related to two schemes. None of that was achieved in terms of the augmentation project. And underperformance there relates to delays associated with the professional service provider. In terms of the number of bulk raw water projects under construction, There were four planned, and then none were achieved. A similar reason related to the procurement service provider. And then also in terms of the bulk raw water projects under construction in relation to the Clan William Dam. So that project has also not been achieved. And a similar issues related to the procurement and construction activities on site. The number of bulk raw water projects under construction in terms of the Hazelmere Dam, also not achieved. And then lastly, in relation to Mzumvubu, that has also not been achieved. And both issues there relate to the appointment of service provider. In the case of the last one, there is an issue around a dispute which has been lodged as part of the procurement process, which is currently under arbitration. Thank you. The next slide. So this is a continuation of Program 3. The number of job opportunities created. So again, they're well below the target there. And that has been impacted on, obviously, as was mentioned in the previous slide, because of the large number of projects which have been delayed. So those were not able to realize the full job opportunities indicated. So in terms of the Hazelmere Dam, I think that was addressed in the previous slide. That has also not been achieved. The number of dam safety rehabilitation projects completed, 5 were planned and none were achieved. So that has been impacted on due to community unrest. A similar indicator related to Nkadimeng Dam. And in this case, there's also been delays due to community unrest. And then lastly, in terms of the Ritsbay Dam, that's also not yet fully achieved. And that's due to the impact, again, in terms of the procurement process, where the tender process was cancelled. Next slide, please. So again, we continue with Program 3. So firstly, in terms of percentage of projects completed related to asset mine drainage program, so well below targets there, in terms of under 40% compared to 80% of the target. So that has been adjusted within the new APP. Percentage of unscheduled maintenance projects completed. So again, overachievement there. The issues related to the job opportunities created in terms of implementing operations and maintenance. So this is a recurrent expenditure. And again, an underachievement in terms of the jobs target. And that has again been due to the delay of the implementation of the projects as mentioned there. In terms of the number of dam safety rehabilitation projects completed, again there's been some delays in relation to the appointment of the professional service provider. And then lastly, which is a similar indicator in terms of the Mariko Basfalt Dam, that was not achieved, and again issues related to delays by the contractor in terms of commencing the construction works. Next slide. Right, thank you. So the number of bulk regional infrastructure projects, okay, that has been fully achieved, slight overachievement of the target. The number of large regional bulk infrastructure projects completed, half of what was planned was completed, and part of the deviation there is related to the, again, community unrest, which is impacted on the Great Town bulk water system. In terms of the number of regional bulk infrastructure project phases completed, so again, slight underachievement of the target there, and that's due to the delay of the appointment of the contractor. In terms of the number of job opportunities created on the RBIC grant, an overachievement of the target there, which is good to see. And then the last one, the number of small regional bulk infrastructure projects under construction, a slight underachievement of the target there. and that's related to delays in the appointment of the contractor. Next slide, please. Thank you. So in terms of the number of small water services, infrastructure grant projects under construction, that's been fully achieved. In fact, there's an overachievement there. Again, an overachievement in terms of the projects completed on the next indicator, and also the drought relief projects is also an overachievement of the target. The last one, which is the number of existing bulk sanitation backlog systems in formal settlements, there the target is they're quite significantly below the target there, and part of the issues around the deviation has to deal with procurement processes in terms of the delay of purchasing materials for that project. The next slide, please. So this is the last program under water and sanitation. So percentage of applications for water use authorization within 300 days. So the percentage there has been overachieved, which is good to hear. The number of non-compliant water systems monitored, an overachievement of the target there. The number of non-compliant water systems monitored, so this is in terms of the regulatory function, also overachieved. And then lastly, in terms of asset mine drainage mitigation, also overachieved in terms of the crocodile system in Limpopo. So no deviations. Next, thank you. In terms of waste discharge system implemented, that's also been achieved. In terms of the water economic regulator established, that has not yet been achieved. We don't yet have reasons for the deviation there. Water pricing regulations implemented, that's been fully achieved. And then lastly, the number of water users monitored for compliance and overachievement of the target there. Thank you. The next slide. In terms of the percentage of non-compliant cases investigated and overachievement of the target there, the next one is the number of catchment management agencies gazetted. So in this case, the initial proposal was for systems around the Vaal, Uli funds, and Limpopo. And in this case, it looks like the target was achieved. The National Water Resources and Water Systems Authority established. So the plan was to have the final concept notes established, which has been achieved. And then in terms of the last indicator, the number of regional water utilities gazetted. So there has been some delays there, but the draft roadmap to establish those has been developed. But the approval process has taken longer than anticipated. Thank you. So as mentioned, Chair, so the first part of the presentation was drawing on the annual performance plans in terms of the information received through the quarterly performance reporting system. The next set of slides, my colleague Hassan Mohammed will then talk to the medium-term strategic framework. So I'll hand over to him, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you. So, Mohammed.
Thank you, Chair. So just a few more slides to go through. But just by way of, again, just making some preliminary or contextual remarks, colleague or honorable members are aware, firstly, that the MTSF was adopted by Cabinet only in late October 2019. And President formally announced it in the SONA address in February of 2020. So when we're talking about MTSF implementation, we must bear in mind that we're talking about a very, very short period. So performance the performance that we're going to show is therefore, in a sense, preliminary, because, of course, as I said, the short period and most of the time was used by the departments to get ready, of course, for implementation, which of essentially a five-year program leading to 2024. Also, you know, we should bear in mind that the conditions have changed since March with the onset of COVID, and that has had all sorts of implications. But I'll talk to that later in the presentation as well, just to make the members, honourable members, aware of what that will mean for the current MTSF and its targets. Also to keep in mind that the MTSF, unlike the APP, is geared towards measuring outcomes and not outputs and activities, which is used largely happens at the APP level. But when we measure results, we you know, don't, of course, consider intermediate milestones, which are important to understand whether progress is moving anyway. So let's move on with those a few contextual remarks. In terms of the two departments and you know, what they're trying to achieve in terms of larger impacts, you can see on that slide, which you've already possibly read. So I won't go into all of those details because we'll talk about performance in relation to each of those impact indicators. Let's go to the next slide, please. So in terms of spatial transformation impact, here, I mean, of course, as we all know, human settlements, planning and development is an important catalyst for transforming our spatial arrangements and to have more integrated settlements in which people are able to access facilities, amenities, and of course, jobs as well. So basically overcoming apartheid spatial patterns. The department has done, in order to move in that direction, it's identified priority development areas where human settlement development will happen. And in this regard, the MTSF, the target was for 94 of these. The department has overachieved and declared 136. Of course, the issue is that on rezoning of land is where not much has happened, but that is of course understandable because it's a question of sequencing. So, in order to get the rezoning of land sorted out and in line with the PDAs, the PDAs had to first be declared before the rezoning can be reconciled with those PDAs. But the issue is that, so during the last period, we expect in the period going forward, we expect the rezoning to move with pace. Next slide, please. So just in terms of numbers in relation to, you know, the adequate housing for communities and individuals, you can see that there's been a mixed performance. So on the delivery of subsidy housing, there's been an underperformance. In terms of the FLISP, Finance League Institutional Subsidy Program, has been that target has been slightly overachieved. Delivery of service sites has been marginally underachieved. Social housing has not been achieved, or the achievement is sitting around 50% at this point, and similarly with community residential units. Upgrading of informal settlements, as we saw from the APP, nothing has been, none of those targets have been achieved, the issue to recall is where the department is at, and that essentially is that assessments have been done, as you saw in the APP section, as well as the fact that 100 upgrading plans have been developed. So again, you know, in the sort of forthcoming period, we expect to see movements in this regard. Next slide, please. So overall assessment is that we've had on the housing typologies, that is, you know, service sites and all that, we've had an overall performance of 72%. The performance is largely attributed to service sites, which are 84.9% performance, on social housing 53% performance at this stage. And as we're saying that the department is poised to recover the balance over the remaining MTSF period. And that's across even the CRU program as well as the formalization of informal settlements. Because as I said, the approval of 86 upgrading plans as well as the new completion of new assessments and new plans will accelerate the performance in informal settlement upgrading. Next slide, please. So just again, reflections and conclusions and in a sense, reminders. We are talking about early period, which I've already mentioned. The other issue which has come up consistently and which has also been mentioned by Lindsay is that, like other concurrent functions, performance at the outcome level and impact level relies on performance at other spheres, particular provinces and municipalities. And that's where you know, major challenges reside, as we've heard. So, and the task team issue around the title deed similarly, but it is an important thing because progress there has been, of course, slow, not just in this period, but also in the previous periods. And again, the continued reliance on provinces has to be resolved. And I think the department will and can indicate that it is attending to this, and it has been brought to our notice that at the MINMAX, agreement has been reached with provincial MECs that where performance on this matter is not up to par, that National will take over in order to, you know, improve delivery performance. The important thing also to consider is, and note, is the strategic policy shift that is that the department is moving towards. For example, in the area of housing provision, this will no longer be, I mean, it's being considered that it won't be for just anyone. It should be for certain categories. This should be for the elderly, the vulnerable, as well as, you know, military veterans and so on. The important thing is to empower people to build their own homes and provide an enabling environment for that. Go back, please. Service sites and rental accommodation. Informal settlement upgrading is still going to be an important aspect of the department's work, given the you know, the rise of urbanization. And as been mentioned, you know, getting in partnerships into this particular sector and mobilizing finance outside of the budget is going to be an important strategic shift. Next slide, please. So on the water and sanitation side, the performance, as you can see from this slide, has been, in fact, quite good. So on both of those indicators or intervention areas, diversification of water mix, as well as reduction in delays in water use licenses. Next slide, please. Similarly, with the assessments of municipal water service authorities, the assessments were overachieved compared to what the target was, 108 against 58. And similarly, the development and implementation of the National Sanitation Integrated Plan. Next slide, please. The issue of, firstly, bucket sanitation, I think that's on uppermost in all of our minds. So while this appears to be an underperformance, we are aware that, in fact, units or sanitation units have been provided to most, if not all, of those communities. And the big issue here is, of course, the absence of bulk sewer lines to connect those systems. The way this is going to be managed, we are told, is that the function has been moved, or the program has been moved to human settlements, and it will be it will be directed under the auspices of the HDA, the entity in human settlements, and within the next year, the issue of the bulk sewer lines will be resolved so that all of those units that are already in place will be connected. The next two interventions, refurbishments of projects as well as assessment of water treatments, those are intended, of course, to be carried out over the MTSF period. So we weren't expecting much this time round. The other targets, as you can see, on the non-compliant water systems monitored was achieved. The development of the district municipality's five-year reliability plans, although nothing was achieved, honorable members are aware that the issue here is that it needs to be integrated within the district development model, and that's still at its inception phase, and so it's not possible to implement this outside of that framework. Next slide, please. Okay, so even on the bulk water supply projects, there you can see that, which is also was also reflected in the APP, wastewater treatment work assessment assessed for compliance would be that we're expecting in the period ahead, because that's meant to be every 2 years. Non-compliant wastewater systems was overachieved, as you can see, and the target, though, on reviewing of current water legislation is in consultation process. Next slide, please. So here, again, the some of the interventions are moving a bit slowly, but if we can look at the first one, the second one on river ecosystems is moving quite well, the target there was exceeded, as you can see, from what we were expecting in the period, and similarly with the mine water waste management plans implemented. This is in relation to the acid mine drainage in Crocodile West, Limpopo. Next slide, please. So here again, the target on compliance with water use licenses, we can see that you know, the department is moving well against, you know, MTSF performance. Next slide, please. So in relation to water and sanitation, what are our overall reflections and conclusions? Of course, a similar thing will apply to human settlements, the early stages of implementation of the MTSF. But as we can, as we've heard, that we can see, and we can see that overall the performance is satisfactory. Some of the targets that were not implemented are, of course, part of a 4 or 5 year horizon, and we didn't expect a significant movement given the short period. So the reliability plans for districts, as we said, hinges on the DDM, the assessment of water, well, the implementation of the blue and green drop regulatory requirements, that's going to be planned for subsequent years, and similarly with the other targets that's mentioned there. And we are seeing, as I said, signs of a clear direction, rather, about how the remaining bucket eradication projects remaining systems are going to be resolved, and that will happen by the implementation of the bulk sewer lines. Next slide, please. So I did mention that in my opening remarks that I would just talk about, you know, what the next period holds for us. So we all, of course, aware that the impact of the COVID-19 since its onset has been quite severe. It did require, of course, diversion of resources towards the COVID-19 response plans. And in the case of these particular departments, you know, those were some of the responses that they, in other words, in the human settlements case, identifying informal settlements, relocation of some of the households into temporary residential units, and in the case of water, providing essential water, potable water, via water trucks and installing water tanks in areas where people still do not have access to adequate water. Government activity was also affected, is affected by, of course, the lockdown. Construction activity would have stopped, so procurement of services and contractors would have stalled. So we expect that to impact on, you know, the targets towards 2024. The COVID and its impact on the economy and consequently government revenues has also required that we take steps to reprioritize budgets across government, and this would mean that the targets will have to be reviewed. So going forward, the original MTSF targets are under review. We're looking at the impact of the budget cuts and budget reprioritization, and work with departments to see what the impact of this would be and what it may mean for adjustments in terms of the original targets. Just to sort of, just quickly, as the last point, we thought it's important that honorable members are aware of the significant role that the water and sanitation sector will play in terms of the economic reconstruction and recovery plan. You know, as a program to overcome the devastation of COVID-19. Infrastructure is going to, as the President has mentioned, is a big part of that recovery. And as you can see from those projects, the water sector is geared towards making a significant contribution. This will, of course, help us to both overcome our water challenges, but the impact of the infrastructure investment is also likely to be felt in the economy as a whole. I think that's the end of the presentation. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is the end of the presentation, so we are ready to interact with your reactions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG and your team. Indeed, it was a very informative presentation. I will now invite members to interact with the presentation. Members, you're welcome to interact with the asking questions for clarity on the presentation. Honorable Mokoto. I saw your only hand. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions, the first question that I'm going to start with is going to be referred to Human Settlement, the Department of Human Settlement. And the first one is based on Program 1. What I would like to know is that...
Honourable Member, can I clarify something?
Yes.
Today we are interacting with the planning and monitoring. They have presented to us on the performance of the department. In the next week, that's when we will be having the department to come and interact with us. So the questions should be directed to monitoring and planning for today. Yes.
Okay. Can I ask or interact with the officials of monitoring and evaluation?
Yes.
What I would like to know from them is that the alignment of department's annual plans and strategic plans are monitored to evaluate its correlation to meeting the objectives of the NDP, medium-term strategic framework, and service delivery outcomes. What were the overall major challenges in both departments that could impact future service delivery issues? And then another one is, what value add does your department provide to respect departments if only take information from them and give reasons they provided in a table form? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Robert Mashego.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. And thank for the clarity on the on what we how do we move forward. I was also to take the route, Honorable Mokoto, before you clarify. Thanks very much. It helps. Chair, the assumption I'm making, and you say that the department will speak to us later. So we will move from a premise that, because in the presentation by Umobuta Nkuna, he says that this presentation was actually exchanged quite more than once with the department, meaning the executives. The assumption I'm making is that the executive is aware of these things, and I think when we talk to them, we'll get a bit of response to the issues they've raised. For instance, the PME, the DPME says that they've investigated 84% of the non-performance matters as reported to them, as found by them. But they are not giving us what is the result of those investigations. Is there things that you want to see consequence management being done is there where people must be charged and so forth and so on. You are not talking to that point. At some point, we need to get that. But also the other question I wanted to ask is the relationship between the restoration of the title deeds vis-a-vis the issuance thereof. Because in the restoration, it shows that there is 100% compliance, but the issuance of the title deeds thereof is a challenge. What brings about such difference? And I think, Chair, in a sense, because I was preparing to ask the question to Ms. Gilkananis, both of the DPME and the department, but also maybe even the DPME themselves, do they get a sense why there is community uprisings when the department is giving service delivery to the community? For instance, you want to install water circulation, the community is fighting. Do they have a sense as to why are they fighting? Because they should be appreciating the service delivery being brought to them, but they are fighting the service delivery when it comes. Is it community or is it business people? And if it's a community, in their own thinking, what causes that people are fighting that please don't bring service delivery to us, if that is the case? Thanks, Chair. I'm through, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mashiru. Comrade Honorable Powell.
You can recruit her, Chair.
Honorable Powell.
Thanks, Chairperson. Also, thank you, Chair, for the clarity around us being able to ask the more substantive questions to the DG next week and the minister or the deputy minister. So then to the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, thank you for the presentation, but it seems to me that it's missing in substance in terms of a high level evaluation and analysis of the systemic challenges that are facing the department. So we've seen today a presentation with the targets, the achievements, and then just like a little blurb about the reason that was given to the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation by the department. But what we're missing as committee members in this regard is sort of the analysis around that, about what engenders the failure to meet targets and what sort of systemic problems exist in the department and how the department can fix those. So I think that it's too late for this presentation, but when we're presented to again as a committee by DPME, we as members, I think, would really appreciate a more sort of substantive analysis as opposed to just the tick box exercise where, you know, an official comes and reads to us the reasons that were given by the Department of Human Settlements, because we can read that ourselves in the annual report. So I've got a lot of questions, but I think a lot of them are for the DG and the deputy DGs. I'm just going to run through some of the questions that I think DPME can answer. I'd like to understand why the DPME omitted the analysis for Program 1. I saw that our colleague Lindsay said, you know, that there wasn't going to be an analysis for Program 1 because it focused on administration. But why does the DPME consider administration not to be something that requires or that we as members should not receive an analysis on? What is the reason for that? And then in terms of Program 2, I'm talking now about the Department of Human Settlements. you know, this is the kind of information that we're lacking. So, for example, we note that metros such as Mangaung, Buffalo City, eThekwini, Johannesburg, Tshwane didn't submit USDG plans. So that's the reason that we're given. But why not? What were the problems that those departments were experiencing? And then how did the national department allocate funding to those metros, as we saw in the quarter in presentations earlier on this month? I mean, how does the national department give funding to metropolitans that haven't finalized business plans? Then why were there delays in concluding the rental policy framework component of the policy framework for human settlements? Has the department issued any instructions to provinces in terms of working towards policy shifts as envisaged in the draft human settlements policy framework prior to its official finalization? And for example, is there a public participation process around this human settlements policy framework that is still draft? Then on slide 8, regarding the human settlements co-development, why was the review of the UISP as part of the programs for human settlements code that were to be rationalized not concluded? Then I noted two very interesting reasons given under the informal settlements commissioned for upgrading assessment target, that we saw only 50% of targets were reached. So it was 100 out of 200. And the reason that we're being given is that 30% of business forums wanted a contract fee. Now, what we need to understand from the DPME is, how does the department overcome this, that systemic challenge? Because working in informal settlements is tough because of community SEACOs. So we see now 30% of SEACOs, or they're called here business forums, are not allowing departments to proceed. Cool, fine, 30%. But what is being done about that? What stakeholder management processes are being undertaken to resolve this issue? Because otherwise it's just an ongoing issue. This is the same with the informal settlements upgrading plans program. It seems a hollow rationale on that second target, as municipal or provincial planners develop plans. So we're being told that, 30% of business forums wouldn't allow plans to proceed, but the target was just simply the drafting of the plans. So they haven't yet gone to the SEACOs yet. So that seems a very hollow rationale. And it's, again, a duplicated rationale. It's the same rationale as the target before. And these business forums generally only become involved at the stage of implementation, not at the stage of informal settlement upgrading, drafting of plans. Then I see in terms of the NHFC, we're told they just simply didn't submit a business plan. I mean, how can an entity whose board members and staff members are paid millions just simply not submit a business plan? What systemic challenge exists within that entity that prevented them from submitting a business plan? You know, with due respect to our colleagues in DPME, it just seems that the presentation given to us is, it's really lacking in evaluation. And then I've got quite a lot more questions about title deeds and the more intricate issues, but I'll save those for when we engage with the department directly. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Honourable Mashala.
Okay, for taking long. Thanks so much, Chairperson.
Don't forget my... Your line is not here.
Vana, yes. Is also...
No, no, I can see. I've seen the hands, Honourable.
I'm
member.
Saying I've raised the hands.
Yes, Honourable Mashala, proceed.
Okay, no, thank you so much, Chairperson. You know, I'm having a concern. The DPME presentation looks very weak for both departments. So for a department called Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, copy and paste the non-attainable targets with brief reasons from departmental information is problematic. If within DPME there is a sector-specific specialist, why is there no rigorous analysis on the impact of the weaknesses in both departments on the social and economic landscape, and particularly for service delivery? Chairperson, when looking on the presentation, it shows also that, okay, let me leave that, because since you have highlighted that we are not talking to the department. My worry was about that. And then the other thing is there's no planning and monitoring or evaluation happening anywhere. That is, while people can look even COVID-19 resources without thinking twice, and the department was of evaluation and monitoring was unable to tell us in time that there is a problem. Chairperson, let's agree that the formulation of this department was misguided, and we should do away with the whole department. This is an administrative layer that serves no meaningful purpose. The other thing, Chairperson, we must all agree that it is the public representative of the EFF, members of the EFF in the legislature, and members of parliament that are doing the monitoring and evaluation on behalf of this department. Because it's us who always tells you what is happening on the ground. We tell you when there's no water. We went to Eastern Cape, there's no water there at Aluwal North. It's us who's going to come to parliament and tell this department there is no water there. About the issue of bucket toilets, it's us who's going to tell you. We went to Aluwal North, we found this bucket toilet there. It's us who's going to tell you when we have this monitoring and the DPME, which is doing nothing. It's a waste of time to have this department, since we can see now they just went and took, copy and paste what the department always tells us about, bring it this side. There's nothing new. Thank you.
Who cares, Philomt?
Hey. Honorable Sosai, order, out of order. Honorable Mvana.
Hey,
Honorable Sosai, can you mute your mic?
Okay, Chair, I just want to check, maybe I might have missed it in terms, maybe I missed something. When the presentation was talking about not achieving anything in terms of the target, I'm interested about the reason. Maybe it is good for us because they just said it's the procurement processes. What is it that is there in the procurement processes, or what is it that has happened? We are really interested on that one. The other question that I'm having is to check with the monitoring and evaluation. Are they satisfied with the tool or monitoring tool that they are using? Are they able to achieve what they think they have to achieve in terms of monitoring the department? Thanks, Chair.
Hello, Chair? Chair?
Thank you very much.
Thing, if they think they are not
satisfied with the monitoring tool that they are using. What is it that they think needs to be done? Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Mvana. Can I request honorable members to lower your hand so that I can see the new ones that have not spoken? Honorable Tafeni?
Enkosi Chairperson, ndibulele, ndibulise members zonke ezilapha committee. Chairperson,
molo honorable Tafeni.
Chairperson, I have a concern due to the target of water planning and information management, because it tells us that the number of district municipalities completed 5-year water and sanitation services plan, master plan, and also target is 17. Although we have no water in the whole country, more especially in the Eastern Cape. So, Chairperson, ngiyacela ukuthi masithethe izinto apho, masithethe izinto ezizobonakala ebantwini zisenzeka. Because e-Eastern Cape sikwi-crisis kakhulu yokungabi namanzi. Ingakumbi umasipala wasemaAmathole, the district yaseAmathole. Akukho nenye i-subregion enamanzi eAmathole. Ngiyafuna Chairperson ukuthi xa sibeka izinto apho masizibeke ibe zizinto eziyimpumelelo, abantu baseSouth Africa baxhamle. Singenzeli thina. Singenzela ukhavarisha imisebenzi esikuyo. Because aba bantu ababajonge kuthi. Ndiyabulela sihlalo, Inkosi.
Thank you, Honorable Tafeni. I don't see any other hands. Honorable Mosala, can you lower your hand? Okay, I don't see any other hands. DG, let me add my question on the... I've seen that there is no any target around monitoring the transformation of water allocation. I suggest it should be put as part of the target. The other thing that I want to check is I see on the annual plan your evaluation is based on the output, but on the MTSS, you're based on the outcome, which mostly as members of parliament will want to hear the outcome, which is the impact of the program of the department. And if you look at the annual plan, it doesn't give that. And the MTFS is the 5-year plan, which will at that time the evaluation would even be clouded by the campaigns and other things. So is it not my suggestion that you could look at adding the outcome part on the annual performance evaluation? Thank you very much, DG. I'll now invite you and your team to respond to the questions.
Thanks, Chairperson, honorable members. I'll deal with some of the questions and ask colleagues to also come in and deal with more details where necessary. Let me start with the question raised by Honorable Mushala on the reasons for lack of performance. Now, if there is no performance, the best I can do is to ask the DG concerned, why are you not performing in this particular area? If the DG gives me a reason and says, I'm not performing because of procurement issues, then we'll raise that as an issue of planning and all those kind of things. But that cannot change the reason that has been provided for the lack of delivery. So we have to come and say to yourself that we ask the concerned people to give us feedback on why they are not performing. So this is what they tell us and say they are not performing. Then what then do we say once we have received those reasons? We then do an analysis of those reasons and say this amount to the lack of planning. Perhaps given the size of the report and the amount allocated, we should have gone to town as DPME to then say whether we accept this reason, we don't accept this and that and that and that. And we, which can be done. So, but the starting point is to get the reasons from the concerned people who are charged with implementation, because accountability, monitoring and evaluation are shared responsibilities between DPME and the departments, because on our own we will not do everything. We also rely on the department to give us accurate information. This explains why we use technology for the filing of the reports, so that we can also take advantage of technology to assist us to establish insights from the information that we are given. Now, what do we see as the major stumbling blocks in terms of performance in the two departments? The one area that we have mentioned is that of budget cuts, that in the period under review up to now, we have experienced quite a number of budget cuts that have necessitated reprioritization, and that is indeed disruptive for the work of government departments. But we also realize that departments also have too many targets. So we take the little resources that we have and spread the money across so many targets. And one of the points mentioned in the presentation is that we need to look into this and start to work out on some of the targets that may need to be removed going forward because of the budget cuts. Because if we continue at this rate, then we'll have a big problem. The other area we flag, and we can go into further details on specific areas, is that of concurrence. And when I started, I mentioned the district development model and said that we have observed that in this area, so if we were to take this department and compare it to, let's say, science and innovation, you'll find that the situation is different because there is no concurrence in the work of DSI. But when you come to these two departments that we're dealing with, there's a lot of concurrency areas, and in the presentation, colleagues were indicating areas that are being affected by concurrence. And I then said at the beginning that given the challenges of concurrence, we will engage with the two departments to see to it how the district development model will assist us to mitigate the challenges that we are faced with. Of course, the issues of protests that the Honorable Mashiho raises. We have a separate presentation that we presented to the Committee on Public Service and Administration last week on what is happening in local government. Now, when you look at that presentation, it deals with some of the issues that the Honorable Mashiho is raising. Why is it that there are protests when government is delivering services? And in that report, we mentioned quite a range of issues, the range of causes for protests in communities. And that can also be shared with the committee so that the committee can have a sense on our assessment of what gives rise to the challenges in local government. Because everything that we do, all of us, eventually manifest in local government. Lastly, on my side, what is the nature of this report that we have presented today? This report is not an impact assessment report. This report focuses on outputs and outcomes. And when we do this biannual reports, that is when we go deeper and focus also on what communities are saying about the state of things. But I need to assure honorable members that we do rigorous checking when we receive information from the departments, but given our own limited capacity, sometimes we cannot go or do things the way we would even want to do ourselves, because we have also been victims of the budget cuts. We're not a very big department, so we have to rely on the information that is submitted to us. But one thing that we will do is that the issues that members identify as the critical drivers of the work of the two departments, those will single out for more rigorous impact assessment so that we can contract with this committee to the ASP on the following areas. The committee is interested in more impact, more in-depth analysis, but surely will not be in a position to do an impact assessment of all the work that there is, because we monitor the entirety of government with less than 400 staff members. But we take up the big, high impact areas like the issue of title deeds. That issue I'll then commit and we'll come back to the committee with a more in-depth assessment. And then we can take maybe 3-4 additional issues that are of high impact that the committee wants the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation to provide an in-depth assessment of the performance of the two departments. So I'll ask colleagues to deal with specific issues based on the questions that have been raised by honourable members. Thank you.
Thank you, DG and Chair. Maybe I can also just come in to add before Hassan adds. So there was a question also on the alignment of annual performance plans, strategic plans in the MTSF. So we do that alignment on an annual basis. As part of that process, we can then accommodate issues, I think as the Honourable Chair had mentioned, of adding additional indicators around transformation on the water services sector. So you could only do that moving forward and essentially then not retrofit that back into the previous performance, but we've noted that. There was then also a question as to why we had omitted Program 1 information. So Program 1 information is available for the department. We thought for the purposes of the presentation is that we would rather focus on the service delivery programs of the department, and hence for the purposes of time, not to spend too much time on Program 1. But we can definitely share that information with the committee if required. I think DG has touched on a lot of the issues around the reasons why there's been underperformance in certain cases. One issue maybe that he didn't touch on was the issues around procurement. So this has been an ongoing issue, especially on large projects, and how we plan and procure for large projects. So there is work that is ongoing with National Treasury as part of the broader procurement reform, where they're looking specifically at how departments engage with communities and then develop the appropriate feasibility studies and implementation plans. In most cases, it's because of failures as part of the initial planning process that impact on delivery later in the value chain. But that's then part of the ongoing work. I'll pause at this point and then check if Hassan has anything to add.
Thank you. May I come in, Chair?
Who's that? You're welcome.
It's Hassan Mohammed.
Okay.
I don't have much to add. The DG has covered most of the issues I think I wanted to talk about, but perhaps just emphasize, I mean, the common sort of thread is in all of this is, in fact, the major systemic challenge is concurrency. And that's, and it's been sort of highlighted even in the 20-year reviews, 25-year reviews that the department has produced, which says that essentially where the requirement for service delivery involves cooperation and coordination amongst different spheres and entities, service delivery is not optimal. And this has been the major systemic challenge, as you can see, within these two sectors. So, human settlements as a national department can achieve the kind of outcomes we're looking for as a nation only through provinces and municipalities. And how to fix that system is the critical thing. Second, and that sort of also plays out in the water sector, right? The department has an oversight and regulatory function, but it's municipal water service authorities that are responsible for delivering and reticulating water to communities. And we know from that kind of analysis coming out of there about the, you know, woeful neglect of maintenance and routine operations and refurbishment at that level, which is, of course, cause a deterioration of infrastructure and as a result, constant and frequent disruptions in supply. So the systemic challenges are essentially those, and they're, of course, of a very complex nature, and they require us to fix, in essence, an intergovernmental system, so that it works in a way that improves delivery performance. Now, I mean, that's the whole intention of the DDM, right? It's still early days to see the extent to which the DDM will overcome this kind of challenge. That's the only emphasis I wanted to make. Thanks.
Maybe one quick issue to add, with your permission, is Robert. Yes, the one issue that we mentioned, although in passing, is that of regulation, wherein we are asking ourselves as DPME whether there is a need for a standalone regulator in this particular area, because if you compare this area and energy, for example, there you have a standalone regulator in the form of NERSA, huh, that is performing certain functions independently. Now, in the regulated sectors, it does help the work that we do as DPME, because you can also get data from an independent regulator. Now, we are aware that establishing a regulator comes at a cost. And what we then ask to do is to prioritize this issue and do an assessment whether having a regulator in this area will help us, because then you will have an intermediary before we come in. There will be another institution independent that's not involved in the provision of services. Now, we don't deal with governance issues as a DPME, and governance issues are dealt with or handled by DPSA, our sister department, and there are serious discussions that are going on amongst DGs in government led by the DPSA. And that speaks to the stability of organizations and institutions, especially government departments. While one issue is that of the political administration interface, that we are coming up with proposals as to how we strengthen that. I'm not necessarily saying that we have such problems necessarily in this case, but just to highlight that except for what DPSA can say, we don't monitor that. But because we sit in the GISCID committee that is chaired by DCOG and DPSA, we do observe from time to time that there are always challenges that relate to governance. And I think on the right day, DPSA can share what work is being done by government as a whole. And we make inputs ourselves based on our observations on performance. So the other issue that we are busy with, Chair, is that of the performance of the Directors General. We will be going to Cabinet as a DPME with serious recommendations on how to strengthen the performance of Directors General. It has already been mentioned that we have sorted the issue pertaining to the performance of ministers and so there's quite a range of issues that are taking place in government that we are busy with that cannot fit in one presentation, and it may need other government departments to also share some insights in terms of what is that we're doing to ensure that government delivers on its mandate. Thank you.
Thank you, DJ. Any other person to respond to the question?
Maybe I should come in there. is Mahom. My, I don't know if you can see me. Mahom,
okay.
Can see me. I just wanted to come on the monitoring part of the methodology and so on. We are continuously improving on our monitoring methodologies and trying to make sure that they are integrated, you know, planning, monitoring, and evaluation in the system so that we can be able to holistically answer the questions which you are asking. We just had a very useful, the biannual monitoring of the MPSF. We had a full week with the cabinet. And in the reports, you'll find that we had really gone into detail as DPME as to, you know, some of these issues which have been raised here. And I believe that we can be able to share those kind of reports. They're quite detailed reports, and so that can also assist us in terms of you know, giving us that impetus in terms of the reporting. So we are aligning all these you know, elements of methodology in terms of, you know, we really want to know, you know, the impact which is happening, you know, to our communities. Are we making impact as a government? Or are we not making that? How can we change? What are the early warning signs and things like that? So I'm really thinking that if you see and you read the reports, you will be very much enlightened in terms of some of these issues which have been raised. We will be publishing them, I hope, DG, not very long. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you have any other person to respond? No. Let me invite follow-up Honorable Power.
Thanks, Chair. I think that the last official has just provided some of the clarity that I was going to request. But let me just go back to the Director General of the DPME's comments as he opened in response to our questions. And in those comments, the Director General noted that a lot of the underperformance can be attributed to the budget cuts that the department has just seen. Now, we passed a supplementary budget in May of 2020, and that was when the 2.26 billion rand was cut from the department, and then now recently again with the midterm budget, we saw further amounts of a few million being cut. Now, I'd like to ask the Director General if he is referring, the year that we are analyzing here is the 2019-2020 financial year, which ended in March. So I'd like to ask the Director General how the budget cuts in the 2020-21 financial year impact on the targets for the year under review, because my understanding is that the this analysis is for last year's targets. And then the Director General further went on to say that the DPME must abide by the rationale given to them by the relevant Director General or department officials, in this case, Human Settlements and Water and Sanitation. What exactly is the purpose of the DPME if their monitoring and evaluation work is based simply on rationale and detail provided to them by the department? I mean, surely as part of their core mandate, you know, they should be carrying out their own evaluations. In fact, I note that as one of the key mandates of the DPME. And there's a whole bunch. I'm not going to read the mandate back to the DPME, but one of those is to carry out evaluations. Now, if the DPME is relying solely on information provided to it by the national department, then should this department exist at all? Is that not just simply a duplication of resources? But I must say that I think we've been somewhat pacified by the last speaker, who noted that there had in fact been an in-depth discussion with Cabinet and an in-depth analysis around the MTSS, and that there were reports that came out of that. Now, it's that type of detailed information that this committee, who have an oversight function, are charged with. So, you know, to come and waste our time by presenting to us targets that we could get directly from our own DGs, you know, that serves no purpose. So could, through you, Chairperson, I ask that we are given a date in this committee now by when we can expect to have those reports and that in-depth analysis that the DPME went through with Cabinet? Because right now, in today's presentation, we've simply been given target outcomes as detailed by our own departments. So those reports, I think, will go a long way into providing the level of detail and clarity that we require. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Powell. Honourable Mosala.
Thanks so much, Chair. I want to reiterate that the formulation of this department was misguided, and we actually should do away with this whole department because it doesn't serve us with anything. It is actually we are abusing actually the money of the taxpayers to have this department. I understand the DG talks spoke about the budget cut. Actually, the budget cut must not be there. Actually, we don't need this department. It must go. Anyway, we have the department that has its own monitoring and evaluation units. So should the budget not be increased for departmental units to improve their skills? Why we don't take the money that we give this DPME and give the department, because it is having its own monitoring and evaluation units, so that we can improve people's skills there, so that they can serve us accordingly. Chairperson, everyone who works at DPME, I think they must go and work in other government institutions, and we get away, we get rid of this thing. It doesn't exist. The other thing is that the government must build internal capacity in municipalities, state-owned entities, and all government departments. Honestly speaking, you cannot plan and monitor one way around tenders. You can't do that. You can only monitor, evaluate, and plan around your own institution, not around tenders of certain people, because they will do as they wish, and then you'll have a problem of doing those monitoring and evaluation. We are actually always adopting reports that result in nothing, most especially when it comes to DPME. It is a waste of time. This department must get rid of this department. It's just a way of abusing or misusing people's money. We take money into this department, doesn't assist us with anything. Since I said earlier, we are the EFF representative that are doing the work on the ground. We come here and tell you what's happening. We come here and tell you about the corruption. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Honorable Mosala. Can you lower your hand? And Honorable Mashiru follows.
No, Chair. I think an impression must never be created that the committee is moving for a closure of the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. It must be understood that that's the view of one party in the committee, because I don't believe that is the correct way we must deal with issues. We must arrive where we think job is not done and so forth and so on. And I must state that we value the work that the DPME is doing, and we'll always raise where we think we're not satisfied about, and we will appreciate that the department is a waste of money and energy with all of us in parliament. because we needed it to do certain work. I don't want to say I disagree with what the members are saying. Is that the department must never leave this meeting with an understanding that there is a view of the committee. It is a view of one or two parties in the committee. We do not share that view, but we are raising our discomfort where we think there is, and with the hope that they will correct those and move forward. Because indeed, the department must always be monitored and be evaluated against the agreed upon outcome and basic work that they should do. So if we take away that department, that oversight in terms of the parliamentary work shall not be done. So I just wanted to record that the variation of mind in the committee, Chair.
Chairperson.
Honorable Mokoto, you must raise it through your system. I can see you now, your system is working. Honorable Mvana.
Thanks, Chair. I also would like to echo my concern. I think Honorable Mashiko has covered me a little bit, but I also would like to emphasize that as we are people that are oversighting these departments, if something goes wrong, we must come up with ways on how do we want it to happen. That is exactly why I was asking whether do they think that the monitoring tool that they are using, is it enough or is it to satisfy them? Or what is it that they also think that must be done to improve the way on how they monitor? Otherwise, in saying that it must not be there and it's a waste of money, I don't think that one is a correct language that we should use as people who are oversighting them. The only thing that we should have, we must also assist and come up with ways on how do we want it to happen. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mvana. Honorable Mokoto.
Thank you, Chairperson. I concur with what Honorable Powell and Honorable Rebecca Mosala has said. The DPMS should go to the drawing board to revise the way they do things. They must start now thinking out of the box so that their work or the results of their work should be seen, you know, to have been done by people who are serious about serving the communities out there, who are solely relying on their work to make sure that there is service delivery. Otherwise, the officials that are or that consist of the DPMS, they should be replaced if they are unable to deliver as expected. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mokoto. Honorable Mashobo.
Well, Chairperson, thank you very much. Honorable Mashiko has actually intervened. The fact that His Excellency Comrade Jackson is not here, those of us in the executive, there is nothing wrong for members of parliament to be critical, but to make certain suggestions like as if these officials, what they are doing is not important, is unfortunate, Chair. And we should be able to condemn it. And they play an important role. As Democrats, we should try to respect the outcome and the confidence given to the ruling party by the voters. At a particular point, whenever if it might happen in future, then the excellencies, the members there, they would be able to reconfigure their own administration. But there's a lot of value. And if members, they don't understand the value of the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, including the same vision, people always say the ANC has run away from it. Vision 2030. It comes from this important department. I thought I should be able to come on a point on behalf of those of us who are in the executive on the insinuations that are being made so that the officials don't feel exposed when some of us who are jointly in the executive are with them. The other issues I respect, Chair, you will convene us at a particular point in time.
Support them, but now we are not supporting.
As a department chair, when we normally, as a department, thank you, Chair. As department's chair, you will convene us through.
But he's the same chairperson. You've never reprimanded him. The DM is that I must go and win elections first. You never reprimanded him. Why you now you reprimanding me?
Oh, thank you, Chair. And then I was saying, on the other issues, Chair, through you, we will come back. Honorable members will be able to respond to the issues. And I must just thank you, Chair, for being patient with me just to make that intervention on behalf of the executive. Yalibuha.
Thank you very much, TM Masobo. TM Pem Chete.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, let me also greet all the members of Parliament and also both DGs, DG Nkuna and DG Changana and also Acting DG Mskwaya Mahlangu. I think it's very important, Chair, that we raise some of the things that were raised by the opposition parties. Because the minister is not here, I don't think we should keep quiet when they are being abused. I take this as an abuse because we invited them, they did their presentation, and I don't see anything wrong to what they've done. And I think what we need to do now, I want to make sure that one of the areas that we did not do well as human settlements will come back. And we are here not to answer questions today. I'm very happy that you've clarified, Chair, some of these issues, like people when they invited the DME, they don't know that they must ask questions to the DMEP. But what is important is that we are here, myself and Honorable Mahlobo, DM Mahlobo. If the Minister DPME is not here. We are here for them because we sit in the executive, all of us. But there is nothing like when you don't agree with the presentation, you say it's a waste of time, this department is not supposed to be here. It can't be right. It can't be right. So the last thing that I would like to raise is thank the chairperson and also the whip because they've given us a chance to come to listen to our the presentation by the DME, because now we are able to see where we're weak. And when we come back, we'll be having answers. And I want to thank also the DG Nkuna, because we've noted all the areas where we're weak as human settlement. When we are invited, we'll be able to answer those questions. And I also want to thank members of Parliament for making sure that we are here today. We're not supposed to be here. I was told that it's this platform. It's not for us. It's for Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. But they gave us chance to listen. I think it has helped us that now we know where we're weak and we are here to all the challenges that we're faced with. And I want to say thank you very much again to the both teachers. Thank you very much. The last thing that I want to raise, DG Nkuna, is that, and I would like, because I'm responsible for the 30%, 10% certified for women and youth, I would like you to make sure that is evaluated, because it's going to be a problem. And we were asked that question by the members of parliament. What are we doing on issues of 30%, 10% certified. It is it's no longer 30% now. It's the president has increased it to 40%. And then in the next, maybe when you come back again, please make sure that you give us the analysis of what is happening on the issues of 30% and 10%. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM Chet. DG Nkuna.
Thanks, Chairperson. And thanks to our political principals in the administration for helping clarify some of the issues. Now, Chair, I'll just deal with what Honorable Powede has raised with regard to my responses to the questions. Now, the fiscal decline in government has been happening for some time. It's not a new thing. It's only that it has been exacerbated by COVID. So what I was saying is that over a period of time, we have been seeing a decline in the allocation of budgets to departments, including critical departments like the two that we are dealing with. And as such, we then say we need to go back to the drawing board with the department and revise the targets of the department so that we can maximize the opportunity of the little resources that have been allocated to us. So I was emphasizing that the fiscal decline is not a new thing. It has been ongoing. The departments are aware of that. And now it will get worse with the COVID. Now, with regard to the issue today, which I consider to be the sticky point in the engagement, is that what we do, we are not at fault finding necessarily as an end on its own. So we have to ask the DG to say, why is it that you're not delivering? And then we get the results or the responses of the DG's EBITDA. Then at the end, we make our own recommendations and we have identified areas that we see as causing the challenges that are faced by the department. Now, when we share the detailed submission, the web document, I think it would assist in going to detail in terms of what is actually happening, what our observations are. And I think Chair in future will take note of what you say in terms of the structuring of the presentation, that members are more interested in the end game and not so much of what is happening in the intermediary. So we take that positively as a feedback that this committee has given us. Two, we have also taken note of the areas of emphasis. So as honorable members were asking questions, it became evident as to which areas should be prioritized even by ourselves with limited resources when we do monitoring and evaluation. So Chair, we take the questions positively, everything that has been said, except for the issues that can be dealt with by the leadership, as the two DMs were also attempting to provide direction. But on the rest of the issues, Chair, we stand ready to come back to the committee with a more revised presentation, maybe after in the next cycle, so that we can then address the issues that we have raised. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Do you have any of your team wants to add on your answers?
Chair, we are done on this round of the engagement.
Okay, thank you very much, DG.
I come on the banner on the steps in the same way by testing as one sec.
What is that, Honorable Wena Tafin?
Then see the chat on the condo man or younger, and I leave it by Tetley Shelling as Quenzek or Kaubukrit.
We are not the chair, you're not the chair.
Honorable Tafin, please, if a person doesn't want to be part of the meeting, you don't disrupt the meeting. You just go. No one will ask you why you're not attending the meeting. We don't accept what you are doing now. Honorable Masala, I'm not speaking to you. I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to Honorable Chafen.
To us.
Honorable
Akuko Aslam Utafeni is a member on her own.
Honorable like you. Members, Honorable Mashiru, don't join them. Let's thank the DPME. DG, you are welcome by this committee. We're still going to call you. I think what is important is that issues that are raised by Honorable Powell, particularly on the details of the analysis, in the next round, as we call you, you would know that the committee would want more information around those issues, particularly on if they've not met the target, what are the reason that were found by yourself, not by the department only, because we must be able to assist if there is a systematic problem. You should go into the detail why this lack of performance, and therefore recommend something that would make them to, if there is a systematic problem, who could then can be resolved. But the issue that DM Chweta is raising, please include it in the evaluation part, because it's very critical, and we should use it, the president, because the president has pronounced 40%. It should not be 30, as the department has been talking, giving us report on the 30%. It should be 40, because president now is talking about the 40% participation of women in the procurement system. So we'll appreciate in the next term as you come. And if there is any report that you can share, I can see Mohammed said he's going to send the report, which to the chair. It should be sent to the secretary of the committee, who will then distribute to members for more information. We would appreciate if that information can reach members before the next week's, because next week Tuesday will be engaging with the department. It will be very helpful for members to have that report. And we want to thank you very much, and we value your presentation and your engagement with the committee. And we'll continue to invite you to engage with us as a committee, DG and your team. Thank you very much for your availability.
Chair, Honourable Powell, I just have one more question for you as the chairperson. I just wanted
if you have a question for me, can we release DG and your team, your release?
Thank you very much,
and members, and other members can be released.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Amanda. Long live, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Yes.
It's Emma, Chair.
Emma, can we wait for people to
leave?
Okay.